It's my privilege to be here again this morning. How many were at the women's conference this weekend? Oh my goodness, it was something else. I always have props, so they're just going to take a minute to put a prop up. I don't always have props, but I have props a lot of the time. Thank you, you guys. So this weekend, we had Joni, who is our special events coordinator, told me this morning that we had the largest event in the history of Glad Tidings Church this weekend. It was unbelievable. Kid you not. I mean, we ran out of registration packets. We ran out of food. There was a workshop up in the creative suite, and we were in standing room only in several workshops. Standing room only for meals. There was a workshop up in the creative suite. People were literally sitting on the stairs and sitting on the stairs down into the balcony because we couldn't fit them all in the rooms. Isn't that amazing? Wow. And just a powerful presence of the Lord. It was just really great expectancy, and just worship times, really amazing. And, you know, I think by the grace of God this weekend, we had what I like to think of as supernatural, God's powerful presence, and also the natural, so that we can walk away with really specific things about what we're supposed to do when we get up the next morning and lose an hour's sleep, for example. Thanks for being here on time. I'll tell you what, for the ladies, it was a brutal weekend to lose an hour's sleep. I can assure you that. But anyway, I can tell you're a little tired today. Is that true? Yeah, I can tell that. Okay, but that's all right, because his strength is perfect in our weakness, right? All right, so this weekend, I'm going to just do a real brief summary since the guys weren't there and there might be some women that weren't here. But basically, we talked about how we have to change the way we think in order to have real transformation every day. We talked about the fact that God created our minds, and I think it's perhaps one of the biggest oversights in the church is realizing the partnership that the Lord has provided for us to have the super and the natural, and how important it is for us to renew our mind. And if we don't renew our mind, it's really basically impossible to have everyday transformation, because our mind is always working. It's working subconsciously. It's also working consciously. So we're constantly thinking, and if we're not thinking in the right way, then we're going to have a problem living this thing out. For example, right now, everybody in this room is thinking. Your brain is thinking about subconsciously about your heart working and your eyes working, and then you also have your conscious awareness of I'm tired, or I hope this service gets out on time, or what am I going to have for lunch, or I wish I hadn't gotten an accident on the way to church. I don't know. So anyway, so there's the conscious and the subconscious. And so we really need to learn how to transform our mind with the power of the Holy Spirit. So I gave the example of when Jesus, for example, he came onto the earth in person, physical person, and the Bible says that he healed people's disease, mind, body, and spirit. So he was doing the supernatural stuff you couldn't explain, like blind people seeing and demons getting cast out and dead people rising and all this supernatural stuff. And then after he would have these times where there was something supernatural, then he'd sit his disciples down and talk about things. He would teach them. He'd say, my kingdom works this way. It's different than the way the world's kingdom works. This is what I think about money. This is what I think about adultery. This is what I think about anger. And if the only thing we needed was a supernatural touch, there would have been no reason for Jesus to preach. Think about that. I mean, the best demonstration of the Spirit's power was evident through Jesus on the earth. And he still, right after something like that would happen, he would teach. He did the Sermon on the Mount. Right after, there's this passage about he was healing them, touching them, blah, blah, blah. So if there wasn't a need for the disciples to learn some things and transform their minds, all Jesus would have had to do, lay his hands on his disciple, and his work would have been done. Interesting, isn't it? And the reason is because God knows, he created our minds, he understands how it works, and he knew that the disciples needed to learn how to do something differently than the world all around them. So in the same way we are today, God can have a supernatural touch. For example, you can feel the presence of God, like in service this morning. You could like have a supernatural thing where God meets you and you sense his presence and you give your life to him and you repent of your sins and he heals you of something and he provides supernaturally for something. And that is a real thing. But then if you don't start transforming your mind to think differently, then the full work of Christ doesn't live out. And what happens is, and this is not a target or a bullseye. What it is, I call it the circle of influences. And so this is us, and this is you as an individual. And this does not mean that you are the center of the universe. That's not what it means. So anyway, it also doesn't mean that everybody in the audience is going to be shooting an arrow at you and hoping to hit you in the face. No, so this is you, but what's happening is there's these things all around you all of the time that you don't even realize that are influencing how you think. For example, culture. You are living in the United States of America. You might have, if you've immigrated, you might have your home culture and American culture. So you have different cultures, and that culture values beauty. It values money. It values, you know, everywhere you turn, there's a half-dressed woman. There's popularity, being famous. And all these things are highly valued in American culture. And that is surrounding you without you even realizing it. Without you necessarily consciously thinking about it. There's all sorts of things. The school that you go to, whether it's an affluent school and everybody's really rich and dressing and in style, name brand clothing, or if the school you go to has students that are bringing guns in, and so you have this fear all the time, not knowing what's going to happen and uncertainty. You might live in or work in a really secular environment that where the guys are telling perverse jokes all the time and that sort of thing. And you might have family pressures, what your kids are doing, what your kids aren't doing, what your spouse is doing, that's, you know, pressuring you to do this. And there's all these things. You might live in a neighborhood that's really affluent, or you might live like in a rough neighborhood that impacts you, what you value, you know, sometimes. And we don't even realize that there's a book called The Millionaire Next Door, and it was talking about how if you live next to people that are wealthy, you think you need to go on vacations and you need to, you know, drive a Escalade or whatever. And that's just a thing subconsciously. You don't think to yourself, oh, because my neighbors drive an Escalade, that means I want to drive an Escalade. It's just these things that go around you. Or because, you know, they have, what are those Beats headphones that cost like $500? It's just ridiculous. I don't know, but you wear them even when you're not listening, so it's like a fashion accessory. And so, or like music, just the subconscious thing of what the music is communicating. There's also like history. I need to go faster. I can already tell. There's history when we're living, you know, you don't live in the Little House on the Prairie days. You live in a time where the internet is your reality. Social media is what's driving, what's important. You have mass media everywhere, cable, whatever, Netflix, that's just permeating. So this is the world that you live in. Okay. And there's all these different levels, people that are close to you, but also this greater culture of what the world values and stuff. And so what can happen is if, say, you get saved, say you come to church and you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you say, I want to give my life to the Lord, and then you're here, and then you just say, okay, go be saved. Ready, go. And you're just like, I don't know what to do. You know, and they say, read the Bible. And it's like, I don't know. That's just like a big book. It's really, it's meaningless to me. I don't understand it. I don't understand how to apply it to my life. So we can get saved, and then we know we should live differently, but all these things have not changed. None of these things have changed. And so all of a sudden, before you know it, it's like you just, You know, and a lot of times we think then we weren't really saved in the first place. But really what happened is you probably did get saved. You probably did ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, want to change your life or whatever. But everything, all the pressures and stuff are all around you. And you, if you're not renewing your mind and beginning to teach differently or learn differently, then you're really going to be in a predicament. It's going to be pretty tough. And so Jesus, like, for example, after he healed people and, you know, did a bunch of things like raising people from the dead and stuff, he went into the Sermon on the Mount and he would say to his disciples, "You have heard it said that this is what's important, but I say this." So Jesus was teaching his disciples that he says, what you have going all around you, that's what everybody's saying. That's the kingdom of this earth. But I say something totally different. And so the process of renewing our mind then becomes very important. And it's a very spiritual thing to renew our mind, because without it, we are going to have nothing else to think about other than what we read on the latest Twitter post or what we saw in our latest Vine or whatever. Okay, so then what happens is we get saved, and the Bible says that the Holy Spirit then lives in us. So we have a partner that's going to help us out. And so that's what happens. I'm summarizing just the messages. I did it at Real. Okay. So then you start doing things that surround you that can become different, helping you think differently. For example, worship. When you were singing, or the choir was singing, "Lord, you're holy, Lord, you're holy." You know, I don't remember all the words off the top of my head, but the point is that was in your mind. That's renewing your mind. That's like, okay, God is different. He's holy. He's bigger than I am, you know, and that sort of thing. So worship becomes a way that you can renew your mind, even though you don't exactly understand how it's renewing it. But you have those songs going through your head instead of, you know, Katy Perry or something like that. And so anyway, and then church becomes, it's not that church is like a miracle or anything like that. But then when you come to church, you're taught, this might be a different way you should think about things. And then that's planted in your head. You have the Bible and all these things. And I explained in a lot of detail this weekend about how all of these things then kind of start feeding and planting into our mind. And so we have to make a decision to do these things that are most important. And what a lot of times will happen in this, it will be like, go read your Bible. And then it's so big and stuff. So it's really important to break things down. And we talked about doing small, important things every day. And for example, if a song, a worship song that Carissa leads in really resonates with you and you're like, that makes sense to me. I understand those words like, we glorify your name in all the earth or whatever song. You can download that song. You know, that's one advantage we have of our history that we're in. You can download that song for free and you can put it on your iPod and you can listen to that. And then that can start kind of changing the way you think. Oh, God's really important, not, you know, this famous movie star. You know, what God thinks is probably more important than what George Clooney thinks about politics or whatever. It's like George Clooney is like the expert for humankind. You know, for some reason, probably because he's what our culture values. You see that? And so because that's what our culture values, all of a sudden he's of what everybody looks to instead of, well, what does God think? And so we need to break down in little pieces, what we're supposed to do. Thanks, babe. And so anyway, Walt's been helping me all weekend. In fact, he built this for me. So isn't that nice? So we're not taken out of the world. That's the other thing that doesn't happen. We're not all of a sudden transported like Star Trek or something, transported into a different world. So this pressure is all around us all the time. And the Bible says that there's almost like a battle. In Galatians, Paul talks about, you know, that the flesh and the kingdom of this earth is always trying to get in there, you know. And you can, you know, really have a you know, an awesome month where you're just really pressing in. You're going to the early morning prayer meeting. God speaks something to you and you write it down and, you know, and that can happen. But the thing is that this is all around us all the time. And the Bible says that there's actually a war that's actually taking place in heaven between good and evil. And we aren't even always aware of it, because we don't even see it. But Satan has a huge interest in this not happening. The red not happening. Satan has a big interest in that not happening in your life, because then you become changed, and he's not into that, you know. And the other thing is we can get mad at these things. We can say, oh, I hate the internet because all the pop-ups are, you know, pornographic. But the problem is that we can't change this, really. This is the reality of the world we live in. So we then have to figure out, well, how does God want us to live in the context of this world we live in? You tracking with me? Okay. So when we're saved, we don't automatically get transported out. So we have to renew our mind. So this is the thing. We need our mind working for us, not against us. Because if our mind is like just this sponge to soak up all this stuff, then we're going to have a difficult time growing in Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. So anyway, here's some verses. If we can bring up Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 in the message, let's look at some verses in the Bible that talk about this process. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work life, walking around life. You see, the everyday life. And that was our theme this weekend, real everyday. So take your real everyday, ordinary life, place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Then it says, don't become so well adjusted to the culture that you fit in without even thinking. See that word thinking? You see it? Yes. Say yes. Thank you. So without even thinking, and then it says, instead, fix your attention on God, and then you'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognizing what he wants from you and quickly responding to it. Unlike the culture all around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. That means it's possible for you to grow up and have God grow you up to develop well-formed maturity in you. That's possible. Next, let's read it in another translation, New Living. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by doing what? Changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect his will is. Amazing. Matthew chapter 3, and I don't have this on the PowerPoint. Matthew chapter 3 and verse, or 6 and verse 33. Another advantage we have on the internet, one advantage we have of our culture and the history that we were born in, is you can Google, instead of Googling bad things, you could actually Google Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, and you could pop it up. If you don't know how to find things in the Bible, you can Google it. Okay, anyway, chapter 6 and verse 33, this is what it says. It says, he will give you, this is Jesus talking, he will give you all you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of heaven your primary concern. It says, let me read that again. He said, God will give you all you need from day to day if you make the kingdom of heaven your primary concern. So we talked at the retreat about having things that we prioritize, very practical things we prioritize, ways that we can make God our primary concern. And right after that, Jesus said that verse that you probably have heard, but seek first My kingdom and my righteousness and all these things will be added to you. So our human instinct is we need to grab things and we need to grab money and we need to grab a relationship or all these things. But the Bible teaches that if you make the kingdom of heaven your primary concern, he will look out for you day by day. And this process isn't some abstract, oh, I hope you can, you know, get your mind transformed. I hope that by some miracle you can stop being controlled by lust or greed or food or whatever. Jesus said it is possible if we make the kingdom of heaven our primary concern to begin to think and to not become so well adjusted to the culture around us that we just suck it in without even knowing we're doing it. So the challenge then is what we oftentimes will do is we want to fight these things. We want to fight history, fight this terrible culture that we live in and all this kind of stuff. We had journals this weekend. So this is my little sample of journals. And so what we did is we talked about, in terms of what we're thinking, what, I can't change and what I can change. Change, that triangle means change in science and stuff. Okay. Anyway. Okay. So what I can't change, that I was born in, you know, that I live in 2014. I can't change that I had an abortion. I can't change that I dropped out of high school. I can't change that God loves me. I can't change the way God operates. I can't change that I screwed up my life. Okay, in the past. Basically, I can't change the past. I can't change my husband. I can't change, my wife. Good one. Thanks, Ray. Yeah. Walt and I figured this out quite a while ago, and I recommend it. It will help you out. Okay, so anyway, but what can we change? What can we change? Yeah, you could change, for example, what you do at the end of this service, how you respond to the altar call. You can change that. It hasn't happened yet. You can change what you value. You can change it. You could change how you respond to God's love. You could do that at any time. It's never too late for that. You can change tomorrow what you do. You see? So instead of spending all of our time thinking about all the things we can't change, God wants us to think about the things that we can. We can change. Jesus said, I will take care of you from day to day if you make the kingdom of heaven your primary concern. Straightforward. So Satan has a big interest in us mixing those things up. Why? Because then it takes all of our energy of our brain to work on these things that we can never change. So Satan has an interest in saying, oh, you messed up, you know, you had an abortion, you committed armed robbery, whatever, you know, you never learned to read, and you can spend all this time worrying about these things that you can't change, the past, and then you have no energy inside in your spirit to work on the things that you can change, like renewing your mind. So Jesus said, you have heard it said, but I say this. All right, so now you're caught up. You're caught up with where we were. So now we're going to look at what happens then after that. So this is the world we live in. These are things that we can do, our most important things, we called it, this weekend. We can have small baby steps where then we change our pattern of our thought. We change our values. We change what we're thinking about in order for us to do. And I call that, so we can identify the blue, We realize it's there. We do the red. We do the red. And we can't skip that. And then this is what happens. This is what happens. The Bible says then we become a new and different person. Galatians chapter, I don't think I have this in the PowerPoint either. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. It says, because of that cross, my interest in the world, listen to this. This is what Paul says. This is what is possible. Because of the cross, because of Jesus, my interest in this world died long ago. And the world's interest in me also is dead. Wow. And it says it doesn't make any difference now. What counts is whether we have been changed into new and different people. The Bible says then that it doesn't matter. He says the world's interest in me is long gone. This is him, you know, after he's been saved and has been in the process of renewing his mind. He says the world's interest in me and my interest in it died long ago. The most important thing is that you're changed into a new and different person. So what happens then is we have this new and different person, this green that is only possible because of the cross and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, whoa. Okay, these are heavier than expected. Okay. All right, so then we're changed into a new and different person because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And then this is what happens. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 28, this is the next thing that happens. After our mind, we identify the blue, we do the red, and then God transforms us into a new and different person. So then we live the green. And the green means then, green means go. This is preparing and equipping for a season of influence. Then we are changed, the Bible says. Then we began witnessing. We began the arrows. These arrows are where things are going back and forth. The arrows then become going out. Going out of us through Christ. We develop, instead of insecurity in our life, we develop security. There is now no fear. You have taken away all my fears, David said in Psalms. There's power. We are no longer subject to the world all around us. We have influence. We have peace. And the Bible says this. We have life. We identify the blue, we do the red, and then we live out the green. We prepare and equip for a season of influence. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach these new things. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commandments I have given you, and be sure of them. This, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. What sometimes we want to do is we want to skip over these two things. We want life without this. But see, it's the process that God created where we live in the world, we're transformed, We change the way we think, and then He then lives through us and produces power to witness, power to influence, power to change those around us because of what He's done in us. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Every person is at some level in this picture. You may not have it clear in your mind what you can change and what you can't change. You might be pressed in from all sides with the influences around you, pressure from your family, pressure from your friends, pressure from the culture that's infiltrated your mind. All you have to do is surrender to the Lord. Go to Him and ask Him for forgiveness of your sins. And the Bible says you can be changed into a new and different person. You may have told God that you want to follow Him, but you haven't changed anything to change the way you think. You're expecting some magic wand to go over you and completely change everything you value and everything you think without any obedience to the Word of God and how that happens. Or you might just be living there in the red, comfortable in your own easy chair, comfortable in all that red, just making you happy and taking away your cares and worries without ever letting the life of the living God to just flow out of you, to change the world around you, to impact your friends and family, to impact your workplace. So I want just each of you to take a personal inventory in your own mind. I want you to think about what it is, what those blue things are around you in your mind, what things you value, what is influencing how you think. Maybe it's the music that you're listening to. Maybe it's a news program that just spews out hate and rebellion. Maybe it's a movie star or somebody that's very creative and has funny videos or funny vines or something like that that just is infiltrating what you value. Take a moment and just think about in your own heart. Take an honest look at your heart and say, what are the things that are pressing in around me, that are constantly around me, that are impacting how I think? And then I want you to think about what are small things that God may be asking of you. Maybe it's just to read one verse in the New Testament every single day. This is real everyday transformation. In order to be transformed, you have to do small things consistently every day. Think about a small thing that God may be asking of you. Maybe it's downloading one of the worship songs that Carissa led in today and playing it in your car or on your phone while you drive or while you're at school, playing that song at least one time every day, every single day. Maybe if you've been in Christ a long time, you need to be reading your one-year Bible every single day, every day. And maybe you have switched your values to be God's values, but you're just not willing to put yourself out there and really be the green, be the go, transform the world through you, preparing and equip for a season of influence. You're too shy, you're too old, you're too boring, you're too ugly, you're too insecure, your spouse isn't saved. All these excuses that Satan used to bind us up so that we never go in the green. The worship team's going to sing a song, and I don't want you to sing along with it. I want you just to listen, and as you listen, I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you.
Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all. Desperate for you, I'm desperate for you. I surrender.
Just in your own heart, be very, very specific. God, I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry for reading this one inappropriate thing, for watching this one inappropriate show. Surrender that right now to the Lord.
See and praise unfold, a hunger and thirst, a hunger and thirst. With
I want you to begin repenting to God for focusing on things you can't change, the things you can't change. I want you to release those to the Lord. Release those things to the Lord. Things that hold you captive in your mind. Your past, what you've done, that's in the past that you can't change. I want you just to surrender that to the Lord. What I want, God, is to know you more. That's what I can change.
I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. I surrender.
I want you to just, in your mind, just be very specific. What do you want to know more about Him? Think about what you need to know more. Do you need to know more about how God will forgive you? How are you going to know Him more? What action are you going to take to receive that from God? What can you change? What can you change? Can you change what time you get up in the morning? Can you change the music on your phone? Can you change your friends? Can you change where you eat during your lunch hour? What can you surrender to the Lord? No matter how long you've been saved, whether it's been 5 minutes because you just repented to God of your sins in this service, or if you've been saved 50 years, what is God asking you to give up that's holding your mind captive and keeping you from knowing Him more? Be very specific as you pray to the Lord. Us. Thank you that you are here, God. And then as you have placed those things, I want you just to say, God, I release those to you. I surrender those things to you. Picture in your mind is powerful. Just picture giving that to the Lord. You've done that. I want you to raise your hands and just receive from the Lord.
Stir within my soul,
want you just to say, God, I will change the way I think. In your mind, I will change the way I think. I want you just to begin in your mind thinking. It's very powerful what's happening in your mind right now. Just begin to think, God, what would you have me do? I've surrendered things that I know that that are holding my mind captive. Now, what would you have me to do? And just allow God to just begin telling you in your own mind and heart. He's able to speak to you. He knows your mind. He created it. Allow him just to begin to speak to you about small, important changes that he desires to do to change the way you think. Just right now. I want every one of you that is a believer, I want you to, in your mind, at least three small things to change the way you think. Three small things that you can literally do when you go home today. Maybe it's removing something in your house, removing something on your browser. Maybe it's calling Cox and canceling your cable. Maybe it's emptying out those cookies or something in your computer for inappropriate sites, or those things that pop up that are the frequent websites you visit. Maybe you need to go today and buy a filter for your internet. Maybe you need to download a song. Maybe you need to create a new iTunes account. Three specific things. Allow the Lord to quicken your spirit. Just quicken your spirit like that and say, that's what I want you to do. And not just removing stuff. What would he have you to do and think about instead? What red things? Just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart right now. Three specific things that can change the way you think. Three things that aren't the culture of this world, but are the kingdom of heaven. And for some of you, you just need to land right there. But some of you, you need to begin asking God, what is green? What green things? Who do you want me to talk to? How do you want me to live? How can I testify of your greatness? How can I be an influence in my school? Do I need to take my Bible to school? Do I need to start a campus club? Do I need to offer to pray for somebody at work? Do I need to give somebody money? Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. This is how he changes the way we think. He can literally talk to you in your mind. Thank you for the freedom you can give to our minds that held captive to the blue. We can't see it, God, but we know you're there.
It's a place of healing. It's a place I live in freedom.
That's your plan for your children. Freedom from the kingdom of this earth. Begin to sing these words as a prayer. What we'll do, oh God.
It's a place of healing. It's a place where I find freedom.
Let's just in unity as a church just sing these words as a prayer from our heart.
There's a place my eyes can see.
This is our spiritual reality.
Where my spirit longs to be.
Surrender to the Lord.
It's a place of healing. It's a place where living freedom.
This is your plan for your church, oh God. We receive that freedom in the name of the Lord.
I'm gonna lift my hands till I can reach heaven. I'm gonna shout your name till the walls come falling. To worship, I've come to worship.
Worship is red and green. It's amazing.
There's a love that lives in me for you, Lord, my Savior, King. It breaks the sin that's binding. Leads me to a place of freedom.
If that's your heart, let's just all together sing these words in prayer. Thank you, oh God.
I'm gonna lift my hands till I can reach heaven. I'm gonna shout your name till the world.